News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So, man, technology is kicking me today. We just had to boot in and boot back out. But anyway, all said and done, we're here. We're on the air. And folks, we're coming up on one of my favorite segments of every single week. We call it the Grand Council. I've got my two brethren, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in the Mobile Baldwin County regions of our state. Jeff Poor, are you with us?
Present.
You are indeed present. You are a presence of your own. And then we've got our own Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN, talk show host extraordinary, program director. Dale Jackson, are you there?
Alabama's most trusted journalist checking in.
Yes, so you say. All right, thank you. All right, so I pronounce a quorum ready. Copper, Grand Council sound effect, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, listen, Grand Council, here's the rules for the listening audience, because I know you guys already know it. We ping each other with questions, one each. We make two rounds. We answer as best we can. We may not always agree. We love each other when we're done. So I'm going to say, since Dale Jackson made every effort to make this special time at 3:30, he gets to go first.
Well, Dale, I was going to ask you, who in the world did you bump us for? But I noticed it's for Barry Moore. I would never have done that to you or bump Jeff. I never would have done such things.
Liar!
I know you wouldn't have. I know you wouldn't have at all. So there you go.
I bumped Jeff this week, actually. So I did. My actual question is about Kay Ivey and those little stickers on the gas tanks that say, you know, that Joe Biden did this. Now we have this situation in Ukraine happening. Kay Ivey, this is becoming a bigger liability as gas prices continue to go up, her gas tax stuff. If I'm Tim James, if I'm Lou Burdette, if I'm Lindy, Cindy, Brindy, or Candy Blanchard, I'm all over this thing. Does this become a big liability for her?
Well, I'll jump on that real quick, because I just said right before y'all came on that the other aspect of this is the legislature could choose to pass legislative action that freezes or waives the gas tax for a period of time. Remember, right down in Florida, you got Ron DeSantis saying he's going to do a gas tax holiday. And you got Kay Ivey saying boo. I mean, she's like doing nothing. So, yes, I think it's a liability, but they've still got to make the case. I mean, right now, no one is truly making the case for it. Jeff?
No, I agree with that. And what do you think? The legislature, it's always hard to get them in motion, get them going. It's going to take something, I think, one of these deep-pocketed gubernatorial candidates making this an issue to create the effort or the desire for the legislature. But I envision this way, like a Club for Growth type of attack ad, and it's going to have to come from one of these campaigns. It's going to have to hit statewide to get any momentum.
Yeah. Dale, your own question. What do you think?
I think it absolutely is. I think there's a flyer going out already that is out there, and these things are real and real problems. I wouldn't want to be Kay Ivey in this situation.
No, I think she's more vulnerable now than she was a week ago on this issue alone. And I thought Lou Burdette's ad, by the way, where he took her infamous Joe Biden, I got nothing good to say ad and turned it around on her having nothing to say for all these issues, of which gas tax was one. All right, let me do my question, then I'm going to segue right off of that. So here's my question, segueing off of what Dale just asked. And I'm hearing, by the way, that one state senator is already drafting a bill to waive or freeze the gas tax in the course of this current economic climate we've got. Do you think the legislature has the political will to do that? Dale?
Nope, I don't think so. I think that it just opens up a door that I don't think they want to get into, and I think they'll just let this thing go. They said we needed the money for the roads. This will be 10 cents of this $2 or $3 more we're going to see. That's not what's driving the cost there. So I think they could probably make that argument instead, but I don't think so.
Jeff?
I agree, but it'll be interesting to watch somebody try it for sure. I you know, imagine the news stories, and right now as oil is going to go much higher, I think, in the coming days, and that's going to really – the pump is going to be where you're going to see it automatically – that as soon as that happens, just imagine what your media coverage is going to look like if somebody does it the right way.
Yeah, if they do it the right way, hold the press conference, announce what they're trying to do, and that no one will help them. That should get some attention. But we'll see. I mean, I really believe they could make hay out of it, But this is one of those moments too, where I think that they, even if they know they can't pass the bill, they need to make the noise. I think that's an important piece sometimes. All right. That was my question. Jeffro, what you got?
So the legislature's passed a bunch of, I would say, maybe messaging bills, but they were very telegraphed messaging bills. Constitutional carry, you could hear the sigh of relief from the sponsor, Shade Stringer, from where I was on Tuesday. But the one that people seem not to be so big on is this anti-rioting bill, particularly you guys at API. Who is this? Who does this appeal to in the end? This particular bill.
Who does it appeal to in its current state? You mean?
Yeah, I mean, if it goes through, is it really conservatives, or does the law enforcement community like it? I mean, I'm kind of wondering where the win is here.
Well, I'm hearing that some law enforcement likes it, and to back this up for the benefit of the listeners, it's the one we talked about on the show the other day that redefines riot and puts if five or more people are gathered and are presumed to be considering violent action, they can be detained, which is basically like saying somebody like Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin of Birmingham, who already doesn't like certain laws of the state, he can go ahead and decide that you're a bad actor before you even do anything. And that's evil. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So who likes it? I don't know of anybody that likes it. I mean, and I think some of the Republicans felt stuck, like they had to vote for it just because BLM had rioted in Birmingham last year. But that's no good excuse for infringing upon civil liberties. Dale?
No, I think you're right. I have less of an issue with this, and I understand the SC Alabama rise and Alabama policy. And so you guys are best buds now. So I mean, you guys
apparently
are having a
cats
grand
and dogs living together.
Y'all are having a grand old time together. But you know, when you see that kind of opposition, you really start to think twice about this. Maybe they can clean it up and get it done, because the anti-rioting bills, it's not a good idea to me. I like the whole stick them in jail for 24 hours if they're out there destroying property and stuff like that. So maybe they just need to clean the bill up. If I were them, I'd want to get something like this done. That's just me.
I can see that, but the reality is the definition of riot already existed in the law. They totally redesigned riot and put it in the discretion of the local authorities. And can you imagine the folks in Brookside who were doing all the things they've been doing, or – you know, what happens up in Gadsden where they are protesting that rendering plant being built? If that suddenly became declared a riot, they could start arresting people. It just makes no good sense right now. Jeff, your own question. What are you thinking?
I'm leaning toward agreeing with you. I wasn't there, but now you think about it, you take it to its logical extremes, that there needs to be some kind of mechanism that protects against that and makes sure that people have the right to protest. But on the other hand, look at the people who are pushing back against this. It does seem like, you're against anti-rioting, so you're pro-rioting. That's not where you want to be either.
Yeah, and that's why the narrative has to be sort of purified a little bit, because they've been sort of mucking this thing around in terms of, well, it's got to happen because bad things have been happening in Portland, Oregon. That's a silly argument. Read the bill. Look at what it does to civil liberties, and you might be able to recoup your soundbite. All right, but we're moving a little quicker than usual, so I'm just going to flip it right back around for Dale's number two question. What you got,
Alabama
Dale
High
Jackson?
School Athletic Association.
Oh, yeah.
What a bunch of morons. I mean, there's just no other way to put this. All they had to do was make a simple accommodation. Instead, they told a school, and I don't think enough people understand this about Oakwood Adventist Academy. This is a school that does not have an athletic budget. They have one employee for their entire athletic department. He's the AD. Everyone else is a volunteer. The students pay to play on the teams with student fees and things like that. This is not some preparatory, you know, MBA churning out school. This is not IMG down in Florida. This is not a school like that. This is just a school where the kids are like, hey, we made the playoffs. Great. And the Alabama High School Athletic Association really screwed these kids over their faith. They can tell us, oh, they signed the paperwork till they're blue in the face. They had an opportunity to make a simple accommodation. They chose not to. They're going to get what they deserve, right, from the legislature. The legislature's going to go get them, right?
That is my hope. And I think also I'm already hearing that, like, the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty and others are considering whether there's legal action that can be taken against the High School Athletic Association. I mean, and what I tell you what really amazed me, and I'll flip the script on this for a moment. What I loved was the fact that those kids, because of their faith, decided willingly to go ahead and take the forfeit because they weren't going to violate their Sabbath. And I thought, are you kidding me? A bunch of kids made that. That's so cool. But so I admire that. But you're right. The High School Athletic Association, what a bunch of chuckleheads. They could have done this. All they asked for was a three-hour delay in their game. That's all they asked for. And nobody else minded except them. Jeff?
Yeah, this is the latest in a string of bad decisions by the Alabama High School Athletic Association. They do this, and nothing happens to them. I think you've got a lot of ex-football coach types that are in charge there, and they're not going to be pushed around by those political guys that are just wanting votes. And it becomes this sort of like ego thing, right? And I think that is these bad decisions. Somebody's got to have oversight over that agency, and they could talk about being kind of extra governmental. But guess what? They get government benefits, state government retirement. The legislature, the governor, somebody's got to step in here and say, you keep messing this up. We're going to come in and fix it for you. Why would they invite that? But I like I said, I just think it's just tone deafness, an utter tone deafness from where they stand politically.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally. All right. Well, fellas, we're going up against the break. Let's do the break first, come back, and we'll have the completion of round two of the Grand Council with FM Talk 106.5's Jeff Poore and our own WVNN guy, Dale Jackson, and me, the Grand Council, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, we're going right back to the Grand Council. I've got Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 down in the nether regions of our state, and our own Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN. I think I'm the next question, so I'll just go ahead and take it. Jeff, I'm going down to your neck of the woods on this one. So if something has changed, I mean, you can enlighten me because I haven't seen this story updated. But Jeff Coleman decided after the courts had changed the date for qualifying that he was going to suddenly jump back in to run for Congress against Barry Moore, who's coming on my show in 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Right now, the state party says they've not qualified him. He says he's asking for court clarification. I'm curious why he's running if he didn't know he was going to run before. Why didn't he just qualify before the usual qualifying date? But he's running a campaign without being qualified right now, technically. What's the scoop on this, and is he going to be a candidate or not?
Personally, here's what I think is going on. You know how these consultants are. They look for their next meal ticket. I think they see deep pockets of Jeff Coleman, and they're telling him, hey, you could beat Barry Moore this time. And I don't know why he waited to the last minute. I think he was going back and forth on it. He'd been going back and forth on it for months is what I've been told. But at some point, a lot of the big donors down in the Wiregrass, they went to Barry Moore. They maxed out to him, and that was kind of the signal that Coleman was not going to run. But I think he has somebody in his ear telling him, you could really win and be a congressman. And at some point between, I'd say, fall and now, he said, well, I'm going to do this. He got all his trucks painted. He has billboards up. He's going, despite having missed that qualification deadline. Now, the ALGOP tells me this, that they are, we're going to find out what the court decides, and that's probably where they're going to go with it.
Yeah, I still look at it and think, okay, you didn't know the court was going to do anything, and so January 28th would have been your date, but a week later, suddenly it felt like a win for you? I don't get it. But Dale, your thoughts?
You bumped us for Barry Moore, right? Okay. All right.
I just want to make sure.
Let the guy run for Dale Moore.
Let's be clear. I bumped you for Dale Moore, for Barry Moore.
Okay. Well, good. Let Jeff Coleman run. I think he needs to get in this race and show Barry Moore what's up. No, I think you're right about this. It's very simple. If he knew he was going to run, he should have run. This is just a game. It's nonsense. Dragging his feet like that, it's his own fault. They can't allow this. They struck the ruling down. I'm not a lawyer. You are. They struck the ruling down. I assume that strikes it all down.
That's my thought too. I mean, once the court says no, we're putting a stay on the enforcement of the new provisions of the congressional districts that were being required, to me that stays everything, not just the lines, it stays the dates. So yeah, that's my thought too. I think Barry Moore, if Jeff Coleman stays in, he ought to wear him out on this very issue. He can't even decide if he's going to run. Why do you want him in Congress? That's what I would be saying. Last question of the day, Jeff, what you got, man?
So a reporter for Business Insider stumbled across an 1819 news story here, and it's Tommy Tuberville speaking to the Montgomery County Chamber of Commerce. You know, they do that breakfast every so often. Tommy Tuberville, the speaker, and says that, the quote, he can't feed his people, referring to Vladimir Putin. It's a communist country, so he can't feed his people, so they need more farmland. And the exception that is being taken here is that how dare Tommy Tuberville call Russia a communist country? Is this the end of Tommy Tuberville as we know it?
No, I think it just raised Tommy Tuberville's status because he went ahead and dared to say what others won't say, that socialism is very often communism. But, you know. No, not at all. Dale?
Amazing. I love it. I love how they do this. I love that in their little text chains that they have with their friends, that reporter got all sorts of attaboys. Oh, you really got him. You showed him. And in the real world, everyone's like, what's the problem here? What's the issue?
Your own question, Jeff. What do you think? Tommy Tuberville going down in flames or no?
Why do these people do this? Why do they do this to themselves? Well, who is this for? And it's nothing but a bunch of people that weren't going to vote for Tommy Tuberville or will never have an opportunity to vote for Tommy Tuberville because they can't find Alabama on a map. But every time something like this happens, this is what they do. Oh, how dare he conflate socialism, communism, or whatever governing regime they have in Russia. Define it for me, somebody. But it's such a silly exercise, and when they do it over and over and over again.
And they do. I just this morning was tweeting back and forth with Scott Buttram from the Trustful Tribune, and he had some kind of similar point. And it wasn't this, and it was another one. And he said, these people are insane. Why do they do this to themselves? And I said, because insane people don't even know they're insane, and they hang out with other insane people, and they preach their own insanity, and they celebrate it. And that's exactly, it's like going to the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, watching some of these people. It's just amazing. Then again, we got three conservatives doing the same thing right here. So who knows?
Hey, I just went and took a look at the guy who wrote that article. He looks just like you think he looks. Just close your eyes and ask yourself what the guy who wrote this article looks like. He looks exactly like it. I'm about to tweet it out.
See the mask.
Oh my gosh.
No, all right, go to fellers, the actual Business Insider page.
Fellers, I appreciate you as always. That was a good one. Grand Council with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast and our own Dale Jackson right here at WVNN, talk show host extraordinaire. Listen, thank you. Appreciate you both. Grand Council, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, coming right back with Congressman Barry Moore. We'll be right back.